We're going to start here now. We'll apologize to Avram later, I guess. Okay. So today we're going to discuss the bracha of Bar Pri Eitz, and specifically what makes something an Eitz, not an Eitz, an Eitz, and what makes something a Pri Ha-Eitz, how we define which part of the Eitz is the Pri Ha-Eitz that one would recite a bracha on. Along the way, we're going to discuss sugarcane and sugar and whether why it is that we do not recite a Baruch Pri Eitz on that. This sugya is probably one of the more challenging ones we've done so far this summer. If you tell people you're learning Ketzam Mevarchin over the summer, I've discovered that the normal reaction that you get from people who've learned it is, oh, that's a tough parak. That's really hard. So I guess we're discovering why now. So it is somewhat of a challenging parak. It is somewhat of a challenging sugya, but hopefully we'll be able to uncover some yesodos as to how to define just real basic terminology in Hilchos Brachos. What is and in other areas of halacha, in halachos of arla and halachos of meiser, of what is considered a pri and what is not considered a pri. So the Gemara over here in Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph tells us as follows. Amr vidomer rav, tzlaf shel arla b'chutz la'aretz. If you have tzlaf shel arla, tzlaf is, Rashi says, some type of tree, some type of bush that has a din of an eitz, and arla, it is in the first 3 years of since it's been planted, so normally arla is the peros of arla, dafka the peros of a tree that is arla, are asr bahana'a. So if you have tzlaf shel arla, B'chutz la'aretz, zorek es evyonos. You throw away the berries. Why would you throw away the berries? They seem delicious. Why would you throw them away? Because they're arla, and arla is asr b'ana. What makes them arla? These are peros of something that's actually arla. Va'ochel es ha'kafrisim. But don't worry, you could eat the shells. Why are you allowed to eat the shells? Because apparently the shells are not called peros of arla. They are not a pri. So the kafrisin, the shells, are not a pri. Says Gemara, lemeimra de avionos piri v'kafrisin lav piri? Do you mean to tell me that the avionos are a fruit, the berries are a fruit, and the shells are not a fruit? Which is exactly what you mean to tell us, right? That's exactly what we just said, that the berries are arla, you got to get rid of them. The shells are not arla, and therefore you're allowed to eat them. Says Gemara, but a ruminu, I'll ask you a stira. Almine nitzba, when it comes to another type of plant, a tzlaf, you know, or some subcategory of tzlaf, a certain type of tree, ala olim the ala tamaros. When it comes to the leaves and the tamaros, the little berries that grow on it, omer bore priya adama. You say bore priya adama on them, not bore priya eitz, which is interesting. When would you assume bore priya adama? When would you assume it's just not even a pri at all, and it would just be shahakol? But we're saying bore priya adama. But more to the point for us, v'alev yonos v'ala kafrisin omer bar p'eitz. When it comes to Hilchos Brachos, we're asking, apparently both evyonos and kafrisin, both the actual fruits and the shells are a fruit, and they would be considered bar p'ri ha'eitz. So how could we say that when it comes to arla, the fruits are a fruit and the shell is not a fruit, yet when it comes to bracha, both the fruit and the shell are a fruit. How can we distinguish between the two? So says Maruhu Damak Rabbi Akiva. You're right, we don't distinguish between the two. This is assuming like Rabbi Akiva. Ditan Rabbi Elazar Omer Tzlaf Misaser Tamaros Ve'evyonos V'kafrisin. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who we don't paskin like apparently, Tzlaf, you take maestros from the Tamaros, the Evyonos, and the Kafrisin. But Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Misaser Ela Avyonos Bulvad Mepnei Shu Pri, that the only part of the tzlaf bush that's actually a pri are the avyonos, are the berries, are the actual peros, not the shells. It's an amazing thing that the Gemara just did. What the Gemara just did is it told us a statement. It asked a kash on the statement and it gave an answer. Right, just giving the structure here. The statement was a statement in Hilchos. What? The original statement? Hilchos Arla. The kasha on the statement was based in Hilchos Brachos. The answer to the kasha was from Hilchos Meiser. That's a little weird, no? Meaning the Gemara is working with, it's so ingrained, it's so naturally assumed by the Gemara, that all these three areas of halacha are connected to each other, that the Gemara like barely even acknowledges that we're jumping from one area of halacha to the other. The Gemara just assumes a fruit is a fruit is a fruit. So if it's a fruit, it's chayiv in arla. If it's a fruit, it's chayiv in maisos. If it's a fruit, it's bar priates. If it's not a fruit, it's not chayiv in arla. It's not chayiv in maisos, and it's not bar priates. That's the assumption the Gemara seems to be working with, right?
Could Gemara's answer be rejecting that assumption? The Gemara's answer is saying, no, don't compare it to fruits. Compare it to meiser. Arla, look at meiser. Arla, don't. Not that you should look at the fruit thing. Just look at the.
No, oh, who diamar krebi akiva? Oh, you're understanding that who diamar krebi akiva?
He's just saying, don't look, forget about the brachos then, whatever.
Oh, that's not the pashas of the Gemara, I don't think. I think the Gemara is saying that it's a machlokas. Meaning in Rabbi Eliezer's shita does line up very well with the dissenting view. Right? Rabbi Eliezer says that slaf is misasa tomorrow's Rav Yonos v'kafrisin. Well, sort of lines up well. We'll have to discuss that. It doesn't line up perfectly either, right? Whereas when it came to the halachos of Bori Priya Eitz, we had said that both of Yonos and Kafrisin are Bori Priya Eitz. That's what we're trying to align with Rabbi Eliezer. If you say and the original statement about Arla that only the Avyonos are pri, we're trying to align with Rabbi Akiva that by Meiser only the Avyonos are pri. So I hear your Mahalich. Okay, interesting. That's not the way I read the Gemara, but we'll have to see. We'll see if that's how Rishon Marachronim read the Gemara that way. That's where I told you to stop. Just totally parenthetically, the Gemara goes on and just mentions something that's kedai to know. I mean, it's always kedai to know everything, but v'neim alach Rabbi Akiva. You know, you want to tell me that you hold like Rabbi Akiva that only the Avyonos are a pri. So why does Rabbi Yehuda Merav have to present himself like he's, you know, he's coming up with this great chiddush in Hilchos Arla, only the Avyonos are a pri? It's a Tana. It's Rabbi Akiva. Just say that you pass like Rabbi Akiva. So this is where the Gemara first acknowledges that there's a difference between the different areas of halacha. That Arla may not be the same as Maaser, which may not be the same as Hilchos Brachos. Why? Because Iyamar halacha Rabbi Akiva hava amina afilu ba'aretz. If we would have said halacha Rabbi Akiva, I would have thought that even in Eretz Yisrael, we should follow Rabbi Akiva. Kamash mulan kala mekel ba'aretz halacha kamoso b'chutz la'aretz. That whenever there's a mekel shita in Eretz Yisrael in dine Arla, we follow that mekel shita in Chutz La'aretz. Meaning, is it most mitzvos hatzulis ba'aretz, most agricultural mitzvos only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Arla is an important exception. Arla applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Every once in a while, I'll get a shaila about Hilchos Arla. Someone went and they bought a tree that was, they said it was 1 year old, and they planted it in their yard. Some people are into this, like a hobby. They like to plant things and grow things. So it's like annoying to get those shilas because like I don't know anything about it. You know, like I mean, I guess it's good because I have to study it. But they you know, can we trust them? They said it's 1 year old. I don't know exactly if it's exactly 1 year old. What if I'm replanting it, but together with the sod? You know, you get these because it applies even in Chutz La'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's Beferishim Pesukim. In Chutz La'aretz, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So because, which by the way is a Din D'Oraisa, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is Din D'Oraisa, but it's a lower level Din D'Oraisa. So we have this rule that any time you have a Mekel Shita about Orla, we follow that lenient shita in Chutz La'aretz. Even though we're not going to follow that lenient shita in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we'll follow the normal rules of Pesach. You'll follow the majority opinion, you'll follow. Normally, you have a machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Eliezer. Normally, what's the standard approach? Machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Akiva, why? Rabbi Eliezer Shabutehu. It's a machlokes Rishon, what that means. Either Rabbi Eliezer was put in Cherem, Bamitzia Daftnantas, with the story of Tanush Lachmai, or Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of the Beis Shammai. For whatever reason, whatever it means, we generally don't. But if there's a rejected opinion who is more Mekel, we follow that opinion in Chutz La'aretz. Now it happens to be over here, Rabbi Akiva is a more Mekel opinion, because Rabbi Akiva says that only the Avyonos are a pri, and only they are subject to Arla, so we're going to follow him in Chutz La'aretz, but we're not going to follow him in Eretz Yisrael. This idea, just again, this is a total parenthetical point, not the main point of our shir today, but this idea that halacha kamoso kolamekel ba'aretz, halacha kamoso b'chutz la'aretz, is quoted Rav Shechta likes to point out, is quoted by the Sefer Koheles Yaakov, which is a Sefer written by the Rav Yankel Karliner, who is the author of the Sefer Mishkanos Yaakov, which also you likely never saw, so I don't know why that helps. But anyway, Rav Yankel Karliner was one of the Gedolei Achronim, and he has, in his commentary to Masechet Brachos Daf Yud Aleph, he has a list of six places where the notion of Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim plays a role in Halacha. See, normally Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim is not a rule in Halacha. Because what does it mean Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim? You have Machlokas, Beishamai, and Beisilel. Even the Beishamai is Divrei Elokim Chaim. Even Beishamai is the words of the living God. Yes, I can pass on like Beishamai? Am I allowed to pass on like Beishamai? No. If you do like Beishamai, you did nothing. It's no good. So in Halacha, we don't pass like Beishamai, but in the world of Torah, is Beishamai's opinion considered Torah? Yeah, it's Torah. As Rosh Hashanah likes to say, if I study the Shittas Beishamai, it's not Bittul Torah. Right? If you spent the whole morning Seder arguing what Beishamai holds, that's not Bittul Torah, that's Talmud Torah. On a Doraisa level. But you can't paskin like the Beishamai. It's not a rule in Halacha. So Yankel Karliner points out there are six places where Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim, the rejected opinion, the opinion we don't hold like, even plays a role in Halacha. Where do you ever have such a thing? The opinion we don't hold like even plays a role in Halacha. This is one of them. You have a normal machlokas about Arla. We paskin like a given opinion. But if there's anyone that's Mekel, we're going to apply that LaHalacha in Chutz Laretz. We're going to follow it lahalacha in Chutz Laretz, even though it's the rejected opinion. It's not the opinion we accept. Yeah, in Chutz Laretz we're allowed to accept it. You have a similar notion. Halacha k'divrei Mekel, ba'avel. There's a rule that when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, you have a machlokas, even the rejected opinion is followed in Hilchos Avelos. Meaning the opinion that would normally be rejected, the minority opinion. Or, for example, k'day hu Rabbi Shimon lismoch alav b'shas adchak. What does that mean? Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon lismoch alav b'shas adchak. That there's a sheet of Rabbi Shimon about certain things, specifically the Zman, Kriya Shema in the morning, and it's kedai to rely on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. You're allowed to rely on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon because he's such an Adam Gadol. B'shas adchak. Even though we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. Wait, we don't pass like him. How could I follow him? Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim tells you that even though we don't pass like him, b'shas adchak, we're allowed to bring him back into the halacha. Kedai Rabbi Shimon l'smachalav b'shas adchak. These are three of the places, of the six places, that the Kolos Yaakov suggests that Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim actually plays a role, halacha l'maisa. That could actually mean something in halacha. I gave a shiur on Shavuos about Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. So on Erev Shavuos, I saw my good friend Rabbi Aryeh Cohn. And I said, he said, "No, what are you talking about in Shavuos?" So I said, "Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim." So he said, "Oh, so he said, "No, give me some of this." So I told him this from Yankel Karliner, the six places Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim applies the halacha. So, and I mentioned Kedai Rabbi Shimon Lismach Lav B'Shas Adchak. He said, "Oh, I have a great Kedai Rabbi Shimon Lismach Lav B'Shas Adchak story." There can't be too many great Kedai Rabbi Shimon Lismach Lav B'Shas Adchak stories. So he said that a number of years ago, he led a trip with Rabbi Friedman from DRS to the Ukraine, and then they went to Israel, and they ended up in Midrol Magbomer. Like, that was the whole, they were in wherever they were for a while, and then they ended up in Midrol Magbomer. And he said the guys, a lot of the guys were like not necessarily the that were on the trip were not necessarily like the guys that you would think of as the greatest B'nai Torah in the yeshiva, but he said they were doing great on the trip. They were like really into everything, and they finally got to Midron, and it was like midnight. It was very late at night, and they said, "Okay, let's daven Maariv." So some of the guys said, they just saw what was going on there. I've never been, but they say that it's like it's something, Like so they said, "Rebbe, we're going to daven. Can we just partake of this first, dance and, hug strangers or whatever it is you do, light things on fire. I don't know what they do there, but can we just do some of this stuff first and we'll dive in later." So he said, "Okay, fine." They've been so good the whole trip. He trusted they'll dive in later. He saw them at 5 a.m. or something. And he said, that was the next time he saw them. He said, "You guys dive in?" He said, "Kriya Shema." And they're like, "Oh my gosh, we forgot. We got so caught up." And he was thinking, this is a zman that only Shitas Rabbi Shimon would allow still being Yotze Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So he looks at the Kever Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon, and he says, Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon l'smoch alav b'shas adchak. I don't know the halacha whether I would have said that, but okay, that's what he said. Okay, anyway, that's his story. Bring it back to our Gemara though. So we're talking about this bracha of Bar Priya 8, right? So our Gemara associated Arla, Meiser, and Hilchos Brachos, that whatever is a pre for one is a pre for all. Whatever is not a pre for one is not a pre for any of these things. Seems to be the clear calculus of our Gemara, that if it's a pre, it's a Bar Priya 8, it's Chayv in Arla, it's Chayv in Meiser. If it's not a pre, it's not a Bar Priya 8, it's not Chayv in Arla, and it is not Chayv in Meiser. Here's the problem. There is a rush, that's a second source in Yimarim comes. The rush over here in this parak, in Simon Gimel, talks about Shkedim Hamarim. He talks about bitter almonds and whether what the status of them is, what bracha one would recite on them. And he quotes a Bahag and he says, Kitanim Bari Priya Eitz, Gedolim Velo Klum. Smaller Shkedim Hamarim is Bari Priya Eitz. Larger ones, no bracha at all. Why? Because they are edible when they're small. When they get bigger, that's not what you plant them for. You plant them for when they're small. You don't plant them for when they're big. When they're big, they're not delicious anymore. However, he says, when it comes to Meiser, Shkedim Amarin, Ketanim Chayavim Gedolim Peturim, Misukim, if they're sweet almonds, Gedolim Chayavim Ketanim Peturim, it's the opposite. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv, according to this Gemara in Chulin, Zeva Zeh Liftar, that both are Pater. So what's both? Does both mean both Gedolim and Ketanim? Or does both mean both Marim and Metukim? So Machlokas, right? So the Gemara says, I mean the Bahag assumes, Zeva Zeh is going on both Gedolim and Ketanim. Against Rashi who says Zeva Zeh Liftar is going on both Marim and Metukim, and Zev Zel Chiyuv is Gedolim, Marim and Metukim. Okay, either way, the Rosh goes on to say, Miu Amrin B'Shmait in Rabbi Lazar Omer, Slaf Misaser Tamaros of Yonos V'Kafrisin. In our Gemara we said, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, this Slaf bush, you would take Maisros on the Tamaros, the Avionos, and the Kafrisin. But the Alim, the leaves, you definitely don't take Maisr on. Even though you would say Bar Pi Adama, they're not chayv in Maisos. Because you only say Bar Pi Adama because Zas Lohanos Mel Mazabla Bracha, so you need to say some sort of Bracha, but they're definitely not a pre. But with regard to Maiser, they're nothing. So they're definitely not a pre with regard to Maiser. When it comes to Shkedim Amarim, says the Rush, it could be that even though they're not considered a pre with regard to Maiser, with regard to bracha, they are considered a pre, because they're ro'i la'achila, meaning unlike the leaves, which are not really ro'i la'achila, but you are being nana from them by eating them. So you say bar pri adama, he says it could be. The shkedim amarim are not a pre with regard to meiser, but they are a pre with regard to bracha. Therefore, it turns out, according to the Rash, Tzlaf, the alum of Tzlaf, are pata from Meiser, and you don't make, you only say Bar Pri Adama, but the Shkedim Amarim, and this is the key, the Shkedim Amarim, pata from Meiser, but what do you say? When you want to eat them? Bar Pri Eitz. So wait a second. We just got through our whole Gemara. Our Gemara jumps from Meiser to Bracha to Arla, and the one thing that our Gemara took for granted was that they're all the same. If it's a pre, it's a pre. If it's not a pre, it's not a pre. Comes along the Rush, and Rush says, yeah, but what about bitter almonds? Bitter almonds are different. Bitter almonds are a pre when it comes to bracha, but they're not a pre when it comes to Meiser. How could the Rush go against the Gemara like that? The Gemara is assuming if something's a pre, it's a pre. If it's not a pre, it's not a pre. That is the kash of the Madana Yom Tov on the bottom of the Rush in Oz Dalit. He points out, our sugya, it's very clear. Additionally, another problem, right? Was that problem clear? Should I say it again? Should I say it again? No? Yeah? Maybe? Should I say it again? Okay. Thank you. Our Gemara was very clearly made an assumption that if something is a pre, it's chayiv in meisin. You say bar pri eitz on it, and it's chayiv in arma. If something is not a pre, gets none of those things. But it's going to be consistent throughout all three of those areas of halacha. The Rush, leaving out all the details and how he gets there, the Rush says there is a certain fruit, shkedim amarin, that will be considered a fruit with regard to bracha, with regard to bar pri eitz, but will not be considered a fruit with regard to meisim. Isn't that against our Gemara? Our Gemara said you're either in or you're out. You're either a pri or you're not a pri. And here the Rosh says, you have shkedim amarim, that it's yes a pri with regard to bar pri eitz, but not a pri with regard to meisim. How can the Rosh argue on the Gemara? That's the kash of the Madami Yomtov. Additionally, the Braisa had said that you have these nitzba, this type of tree, that you say bar pri adam on the olam and on the tamaros, and on the avyonos and the kafrisin you say what? On the avyonos and the kafrisin, the fruits and the shells, you say ha'etz, right? So he said, oh, that's going like Rabbi Eliezer. Which Rabbi Eliezer? What did Rabbi Eliezer say in the Gemara? What did Rabbi Eliezer say in the Gemara? First of all, what was Rabbi Eliezer talking about? Halachos of Rabbi Eliezer was what was that? Meiser. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? Everything except for the leaves. So wait a second. We're trying to associate the Braisa that says that Evyonos and Kafrisin only, Evyonos and Kafrisin only get a bar pri eitz. Not the other two parts. Not the olam, not the tamarim. Only of Yonas and Kafrisim. Oh, that goes like Rabbi Eliezer, who says three out of the four are chayiv in Maestros. Oh, wait a second. If it's really going to align with Rabbi Eliezer, again, you're either in or you're out. You're either a pri or you're not a pri. If you're a pri, it's a bar pri eitz, and it's chayiv in Maestros, and it's chayiv in Arla, and if it's not a pri, it's none of those things. And yet, we say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the tamaros are a baru pri adama, they're not a pri, and yet, they're chayiv and meisim. Similar question to the question we had on the Rosh. You gotta be consistent. That's one thing, even if you're confused by every line of the Gemara, the one thing you get out of the Gemara is that it jumps from Hilchas Brachas to Hilchas Meisim to Hilchas Arla, that it's all the same. And apparently the Gemara itself doesn't leave Rabbi Eliezer consistent. Rabbi Eliezer is inconsistent in his attitude toward tomorrows. Why is it that you don't say Bar Priyetz on tomorrows, yet it's Chayiv and Meisim? So Sachs, once again, in this discussion, quotes from Rav Nissen Kaplan for like five pages. So Rav Nissen Kaplan suggests the following mahalich. And with this, he turns to the halacha of sugar. The good thing about like this type of shir is like you can get like pieces, and each piece is valuable, even if you don't manage to put it all together. The halacha of sugar. So there's a, you know, when I asked you before, what bracha you say on sugar, so everyone said shahakol. If you look at the Rambam, source number 4, in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Brachos, Hakanim Ametukim, Shesochtin Osan. You have to like, in English it's a single word, right? You know, sugar, right? But the Rambam describes what it, those stalks that are sweet, that you squeeze, Umevashlin Meimehen, and then you dehydrate them, you cook out the water from them, Ad sheyikve, until it becomes like a solid, v'yidme lemelach, and it looks like a salt-like substance. Okay, true, enochinami. But I don't know, is sukkar a word that comes up in Shas? I don't think so. The Ramban uses it, yeah. So he says, he's describing sugar cane and the process of extracting sugar. Kol ha-go'onim omrim, all the go'onim say, Shem varchal of bar pri adam, that it's bar pri adam. Umeksasim amr bar pri eitz, which is also strange. Just say, rov ha-go'onim omrim, right? Kol ha-go'onim omrim, they all say bar pri adam, except for those that don't. Those, they say bar pri eitz. And more unbelievably, after he tells you what all the Gaonim say, and what some of the Gaonim, who apparently aren't in the group of all the Gaonim, say otherwise, says, V'chein amru sh'amotzi osam kanim barak b'adama, even if you suck it out of the sugar cane, it's barak b'adama, v'ani omer she'in ze pri, ve'in barak l'avel shakal. Says Ram, I don't think it's a fruit at all, I think it's a shahakal. That's what the Ram paskins. And he says, because shelo yedvash elu akadim shenishtan al yideor gadol midvash tamarim shelo nishtan al yideor umvarchal of shakal. If you extract honey from dates, you have date honey, it's shakal. And that's mamish coming straight from the fruit. Over here, you have to cook it, you have to dehydrate it, it's all a process, so for sure it's going to be a shakal. Why should this sweetness be different than the date sweetness, than the honey that you get from a date? And in fact, that's what we pass on the Shulchan Aruch. We pass on like the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. In Simon Reish Beis, Sif Tezvav, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Ala Sukar Mevarich Shahakol, V'chein Amotzitz Kanim Atukos Shahakol. So long bear halacha about this. You know, the tour disagrees with this Rambam. He says, I don't see how you can compare this to date honey. He says, you know why date honey is a shakal? You tell me why date honey is not a ha'etz. It's a secondary benefit. The dates are meant for eating. What's sugar cane meant for? Sugar. So the Torah says, I don't get how the Rambam can make that comparison. It says a long bir halacha in Simon Reish Beis tries to defend the Rambam. You know, what the real svara, whether that was, the Rambam was giving you his real svara when he compares it to date honey, or he's just giving you an additional something to think about, but he has a different svara. We could get into the bracha on sugar, but I don't want to get too much into the bracha on sugar, other than to just point out that there is this machlokes. The Ramban, writes, Risi Balach's Gedolos, Visha Bandami Sukar, the Kana Sukar Barbri Adama, the Lav Mishum Desfirulu, the Kana Lav Etsu. Now, why would you say Barbri Adama and sugar? So Ramban says, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking that sugar is like a cucumber, that sugar cane is a vegetable. So it's not true. Sugar cane is like an apple tree. It's a tree. It's not a vegetable. It's not a grain. It's a tree. That's it, meaning, how do we define what's a tree? It's not by the height that we define what's a tree. Whatever the definition is of tree, sugar is a tree, says the Ramban. Then how come you're not saying Bar Pri Eitz? Elohachi Sfir Eluhu. He says, the Gaonim that say, you say Bar Pri Adam, is Afagav de Eitzu, Kivin de Laf Pira Kamapik, Velo Kach Linen Pira Ela Eitz, Lo Mitmar Lan Bar Pri Eitz, Ela Bar Pri Adam. Midadava Ashisa de Pircha. What on earth is he talking about? What's he saying? It's a tree? This is what you extract from this tree? But it's not Bar-Pri Eitz. It says Ramban, why? Because Lav Pira Kamapik. It doesn't produce fruit. What does that mean, it doesn't produce fruit? What? Is that what he says? He says it doesn't produce fruit. Oh, meaning that you can't replant it. Is that true? Assume so, right? Okay. That's not the way I answered the Ramban, but I hear that. When an apple grows on a tree. Right, an apple grows out of the tree. The sugar is inside the cane. Right? It's not something that's growing out of. The pri ha'etz is defined as that which grows out from the tree. Not that which is part of the eitz itself. Why would it matter whether that's called a fruit or not? I don't know, but that's what he seems to be saying from the Bahag. That if it's part of a pre-ha'etz, can't be the eitz itself. Maybe that's why. Pre-ha'etz has to be something that comes from the eitz, is not in the eitz. Let's say you ever go get maple syrup from maple trees? You ever anyone ever take hikes in these places? No, you know, your family's not doing trips like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. You don't want to admit it or whatever. But it's... The sap that they're getting, the syrup that they're getting from the maple tree should not be ha'etz according to Ramban, right? It's not ha'etz. What would it be? No, well, according to this ha'adamah, according to the bag, but it's ha'adamah or shakal, but it's not going to be ha'etz. Why? Because that's not the pre ha'etz. Pre ha'etz is something that grows out. It's not something that grows in. What about Hartzav? Where does Hartzav Pam actually come from? From the trunk of the tree. So that's very no get to this to this sugya. What? So we're going to get, this is not the only definition, meaning the definition of pre may also be about what it's primarily planted for, and are palm trees primarily planted for dates, or are they primarily planted for the hearts of palm? Apparently nowadays, where we get our hearts of palm from, those trees are specifically planted for the hearts of palm, meaning they genetically, I guess, you know, modify the different trees depending on what they want to get out of them. So when they want to plant date palms, they'll plant a certain type of palm tree. And when they want to get hearts of palm, they'll do different, apparently. But what emerges from the Ramban is that according to the Gaonim, that you say Barbri Adama on sugar, it's not called a pre because it doesn't emerge. Therefore, it turns out, meaning, right, it's part of the tree itself. So it turns out, according to some of the Gaonim, that you say Bar Priya Eitz, the Miktsas HaGaonim, remember the Rambam quoted Miktsas HaGaonim, the people who are not all the Gaonim, what did they hold, the Miktsas HaGaonim, that even on sugar you say Ha'eitz. The Miktsas HaGaonim said you say Eitz. Why? On sugar? They don't care about this. They say, what do you mean? This is what you planted for. You plant sugar cane so that you can have sugar. So that is the pre-eights. Meaning, just because it's from the eights, that doesn't mean it's not a pre. It could be a pre, even if it's from the eights itself. What are they arguing about? So they're arguing about, right? Meaning, it's clear what they're arguing about. Does pre-eights have to be something external to the eights? Something that comes from the eights? Or could Priya Eitz be the Eitz itself? Right? That's what they're arguing about, Lechora. It could be that you have the same machlokas. Let's see, how far should we take this? I'll skip the Vradim issue. It could be you have the same machlokas about Vradim, whether it's a Eitz or a Adama, but let's leave that out for now because I want to make sure we get to the punchline over here. So says Rav Nissen Kaplan, based on this we can answer all the kashas that we started with on Rash and on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Why? He says the idea of the tamaros of the tzlaf, right? What was the kasha on Rabbi Lezer? That Rabbi Lezer held that when it comes to the tzlaf, not only the Vionis and Kafrisin are a pre with regard to Meiser, but even the tamaros, right? Yet when it comes to bracha, the tamaros are Adama. So he says, maybe it's not a kasha. If you hold like those Rishonim, that only that which emerges from the eight and has a tsura of a pre, looks like a fruit, is considered priya eights. These tamaros, apparently, I don't know what they look like, but apparently they don't look like the pre of the tzlaf. They are the gufo shel ilan, they are part of the tree. So they're therefore going to be a bar priya adama. Like the Ramban says with regard to the sugar. And like the Bahag says, that the Ramban quoted. So if you hold that the bracha is defined by not only being technically a pri, but also having suras a pri, so you can understand that the dinim of Meiser and the dinim of bracha are going to be different. Because the dinim of Meiser are determined by, is it a pri? The dinim of bracha are determined by two things. A, is it a pri? And B, does it have suras apri? Does it emerge like a pri? Does it look like a pri? So when it comes to bracha, it's only going to be hadama, because it doesn't look like a pri. But when it comes to meiser, you don't need both qualifications. It doesn't have to look like a pri, it just needs to be a pri. What about the other rishonim that hold that anything that grows on one second, that even as part of the eights, is considered priya eights, and therefore you'd be able to say a bracha? Why don't you say Bar Priya Eitz in it? The Tur writes in Yoredeya that tomorrows are subject to Orla. Why? Because Why would they be subject to Arla? Because you're defining them as? Again, if you're saying that something is subject to Arla, it's a pri, it's a fruit. And yet, when it comes to bracha, the Torah writes in Siman Reish Beis, that on tomorrow's, bar pri adama. Why is bracha different than Arla? Right? Meaning, we've been talking about Meiser and bracha. Why would bracha be different than Arla? So, same thing, but what if you're going to say, like the Shita, that even that which is part of the tree is also called the pri for bracha? Why is it that the tamarim are hadama? So says Rav Nissen Kaplan, gamze lo kasha midi. He says, that doesn't bother me. Because the Torah writes that when it comes to tzlaf, ala alin v'ala tamaros, you say baruch pri adama. Because they're not, says the Torah, she'enan ikur hapri. He adds a third qualification. In order for something to be a pri, it has to be technically a pri, which according to this sheet, according to one sheet in Rishonim, could even be part of the eight, so it would still be a pri. One sheet that says it also has to look like a pri. The shita that doesn't require it to look like a pri also has a second qualification. But not that it look like a pri, the second qualification is that it be the ikker pri. That it be the primary pri of that plant. Meaning, what was the machlokes about? Machlokes is about sugar, right? Do you say bar pri adama or bar pri eitz on sugar? If you say bar pri adama on sugar, why is it a bar pri adama? It's really a pri, it's an eitz, why would you say bar pri adama? So what did we say? Because it doesn't emerge, it's part of the eitz, right? And if you hold, you say bar pri eitz on sugar. Why? Because I don't care if it emerges. I don't care, it doesn't matter. It's an eitz. Says from this in Kaplan, if you read the Torah carefully, it's more than that. It's an eight, and what else do you do with sugarcane other than eat sugar from it? That is the pri of the sugarcane. Meaning, the machlokas is, do you say baruch pri eitz when something is an eight and the pri emerges? Or do you say baruch pri eitz when something is an eight and this is the primary pri of that eight? If you hold it, you need it to be an eight, and the pri has to emerge, sugarcane will be adama, because the pri doesn't emerge. If you hold it, it needs to be an eight, and it has to be the primary pri, sugarcane is an eight, because it is the primary pri. Yeah, by sugarcane, it's the primary pri, but what about by tzlaf? What does tzlaf produce? Four things. Evyonos, Kafrisin, Tamarim, Olim. Are the Tamarim the primary fruit of the Tzlaf? Are the Tamarim the... What's the primary fruit? The Evyonos. The Tamarim aren't the primary fruit. It therefore doesn't meet anybody's criteria for Bari Priya Eitz. It doesn't meet anybody's criteria for baruch pri eitz. Why? What were the two possible criteria for baruch pri eitz?
It's not like a pri.
Either it looks like a pri, or it's a pri, it emerges like a pri. Well, it doesn't do that. It's part of the wood. Or it's the primary pri. It's the main pri that plant produces, and it doesn't do that either.
And the mixasagon and the rambam. What did they say? They said it's eitz, no?
They were talking about sugar. Sugar, yeah. So
these tamarim don't emerge?
Not like a pri. They don't have a tsuras a pri. They emerge from the bark itself, apparently. Not like from the part that you would imagine a pri. I don't know what it looks like, but that's what they're describing. That's what the Ramban seems to be saying. So apparently there's a din by Priya Eitz with regard to bracha that it has to be the ikar of pri. And that answers Rabbi Lazar's Shita in our Gemara. And that answers the Torah. Why is it that the Tamarim are Baruch Pri Adama, either Chayvin Meiser, either Megan Bechayvin Orla? Yeah, because they're a pri with regard to Meiser and Orla. But for Baruch Pri Eitz, there's a Machlokas. It's not enough to be a pri. You need it to either emerge like a pri, have a Tzuras a pri, or you need it to be the primary pri. Tamarim are neither of those things. So it's l'kuli alma, it's only going to be a ha'adam. What about the kasha and the rush? The rush quoted the Bahag about the shkedim, hamarim, the small, bitter shkedim that you say a bar priya ate, and yet they're pater from Iser, meaning up until now we've been dealing with something that you say a bar priya adama, but it's chayiv in Iser, right? The shkedim hamarim is reversed. It's a bar priya ate, but it's pater from Iser. And the Rosh asks, "I kafrisin, if it's pater from Iser, you don't say bar priya ate." And then he brings a raya to the Bahag from the leaves of a tzlaf that are pater from Iser, and you still say bar priya adama. So that which is pater from Iser could apparently still be called a priya on some level. And Madani Yom Tov said, "I don't know what you're talking about. You still didn't answer the kasha, because they should all be totally dependent on each other." So says Rav Nissen Kaplan, maybe it works out, because La Mavur La Eli says, the Inyan Birchas Bar Priyat Binan Shei Iker HaPri, in order to say Bar Priyat, what you're looking for is the Iker HaPri. He says, maybe the Kafrisin are pater from, you don't say Bar Priyat on the Kafrisin because they are not the Ikar Apri. The Avyonos are the Ikar Apri, not the Kafrisin. Okay, but how does that help us with the Shkei D'Mamarim, where it's reversed? So he says, V'lo kasha klal mizel the Shkei D'Mamarim. The Shkei D'Mamarim is not a problem at all. The Sphir Leila Bahag, because the Bahag holds that even though they're Pata from Meisr, you still say Bar Priyates on them. Why? Are the Shkedim Amarim the Iker Pri? Meaning, if your Geder is, what's the Iker? Shkedim Amarim? Yeah, that's what grows. If that's the type of almond that grows, then that's the Iker Pri. If that's how you define when you say Ha'etz, then you say Ha'etz on Shkedim Amarim. There's no other Pri growing on that tree that's better than the Shkedim Amarim. So, Mela, it's going to be a Bar Pri Ha'etz. When we originally thought that Kafrisin, by the Kafrisin, the Brachas, Tali, and the Chi of Meiser, we thought because it's not called a Pri at all. But then the Rosh shows you from the leaves of the Tzlaf that even if something's part of a Meiser, it could be called the Pri for Bracha, which means to say that what we define as a Pri for one area of Halacha may not be what we define as a Pri for another area of Halacha. So you can't say that by Kafrisin, the Brachas, Tali, and Meiser, it's a totally different thing. For Bar Pri Eitz, you need it to be the Ikar Pri. For Meiser, you need it to be tasty. You need it to be something that you'd want to eat, Shkedim Amarim, not something that you'd want to eat. And therefore, it's not Chayiv Meisus. Meaning, what the Rosh is actually saying is that there is no equation necessarily, Legabe everything, because there are slight differences in terms of how we define a pri with regard to Meiser and how we define a pri with regard to bracha. Yeah.
Where does the definition of pri being something for Meiser that a pri it's considered a pri for Meiser if it's something that tastes good? Where does that come from?
Yeah. So that I'm not sure where that comes from. Where does that come from? I'm not sure. I don't have the keys since Ryan to them. I'm not sure.
Also, according to the thing that we developed, that inside the tree versus outside. Inside would be Adama, outside would be Ha'etz. That's the only thing we have. And then he jumps to Tsuras Ha'pri. He says, but this is outside, meaning according to the
meaning
Tsuras HaPri from just inside the outside.
Right, meaning the Ramban didn't use the term Tsuras HaPri. He said Dekana Lav Etsu, because he happened to be describing a sugar cane. But when you then transfer that over to other types of trees, it's not, you know, it's not crazy to assume that it's not called a pri unless it looks like a pri.
And also, according to the Svara, that it would, the Iker Pri, they are these Shkedim bitter things, so therefore you would make a bracha. According to that logic, the big ones, you should also make a bracha on them. I mean, they're also the Iker, but everyone agrees that...
No, they're not, they're not, they're not. When the big ones, the smaller ones are sweeter. So you grow them dafka for smaller ones. So the ones that grow big are not the Iker.
So once they get bigger, meaning if they're the only fruit on the tree, once they get bigger, everybody agrees that you don't make a bracha on them, right? But according, shouldn't you make a bracha on them if they're the Iker, if the only thing that...
They're not the Iker.
Once they get bigger, right?
Yeah.
Once they get bigger, they're no good anymore. It's like the food becomes nifsal me'achila.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say a bracha anymore. I think that's what it would be comparable to. All right, so that's our Bor Priya Eitzuga. Tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, do we have Shiur tomorrow? What's this? Oh, I guess when Avram comes, he'll tell us what our schedule is. If we have Shiur tomorrow, we're going to start the Bor Yemei Mizonos Sugya, Brachan Schnitzel, yeah, that kind of thing. That's a very, 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 very halacha lemais Sugya. It's not as, I don't know what the word is, how would you describe it, esoteric or whatever, as this Sugya. Very much... we'll use terms that we're much more familiar with, you know, in that sugya. Like, we know what flour looks like. So, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get to Barim Nimitz.